March 29, 2015, Sunday morning study on Christian responsibility. This will be our last class, and the quarter will change as far as Sunday, starting next week. We're going to look this morning at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Here you have a comparison that we've been dealing with, individual work versus that of the church. And even though we've dealt with both aspects, we've looked at the aim of this class is to show how individual Christians function himself or herself within the universal kingdom. We looked at it from three standpoints, or from standpoints such as the home, responsibility in the home, in society, and in government, our responsibility to these. Also, we looked at my responsibility as an individual member in a local church, what's required of me. And, of course, last week we looked at the main responsibility we have as an individual Christian is to preach the gospel and uphold the apostles' doctrine. But we had referred to 1 Timothy 5 several times in this, but we want to look at it from the context of what Paul was addressing. And again, he addresses both the individual, their responsibility in certain fields concerning widows and that of their own household, and the statement made in verse 16 that the church may not be charged in certain instances. And so this is what we want to conclude with this morning. Anytime you have a comment, raise your hand. If I don't see it, then kind of holler a little bit and I'll get my attention. Again, this chapter simply deals with the responsibilities and treatments that we have towards others. And verses we're going to deal with is 3 through 16, but he starts verse 1. As far as my responsibility towards others, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. And then he gets into this context of honor widows, who are widows, really widows. And again, if you study this, he's dealing with three different classes here of widows, okay, in this chapter. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. In verse 3, he says, honor widows who are really widows. Now, I don't know how your version reads, but in verse 5, it talks about who are truly widows. It's the same word. The words are not changing. In verse 16, it talks about widows indeed. Again, really widows, truly widows indeed, is one and the same. It's addressing a specific group of widows, okay, in that. And so, it really means who are genuine widows. All right? And the thought here that you honor them is the thought is respect, consideration. And the thought is we deal with them not as paupers, but as Christians whom the church holds in honor. Those widows indeed. The New International Version says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Okay? The New Living Translation says, take care of any widows who has no one else to care for her. So that's who Paul is addressing in verse 3. The International Standard Version says, honor widows who have no other family members to care for them. So this group that Paul is here classifying, as he does in verse 5, and if you get on down in verses 9, this is who Paul is addressing in these verses. And he kind of shifts back and forth from one to the other, okay? But again, that's who he starts out with. In verse 5, now she who is really a widow and left alone, the idea of she has no relatives. And then he laid some things that this widow in verse 9 must, a qualification that a widow, this type of widow must fit in that she must be 60 years old before she can be taken in the number. And simply we look at this taken in the number before the church can support or to help care for that particular individual who has no relatives. It says in verse 10, she's well reported of good works. She's brought up children. She has lodged strangers. So these qualifications that these are referring to, this particular widow in verse 3, 5, and 9, okay? That's one group that Paul is addressing, okay? But in verse 4, he draws a contrast from that particular widow mentioned in verse 3. But if any widow has children, so you can see the contrast, the connection. He's not dealing with that one who does not have relatives. He's dealing with that widow who has relatives. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, and some version may read nephews, it just have reference, they have any relatives from this, okay? That's all it's saying. Let them first learn to show piety at home. Repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable for the Lord. And then again, he drops back in verse 5 to that, relate back to verse 3, that widow indeed. But the idea of let them first, that is the children, let the children first show piety to their parents, okay? Strong simply says this word first means that which is of most importance. First. And again, when you look at this, when children or there's a home that has a widowed father or mother, whatever, that first is to be that child's obligation. Okay? Now, it does not relieve him from other obligations of other widows, whatever. But first, our importance is to be placed upon those of our own home. Okay? And that's what Paul is saying. It means, Strong says, chiefly, first of all. First of all, you look at your widowed parents, okay? Verse 9, again, this contrast in verse 16, repay their parents. Here is, in this, a warning against allowing the church to be burdened with a specific group of individuals. That is, those who have relatives. Paul says, don't let the church be burdened in that case. That we are not to place that responsibility of children, grandchildren, or relatives who care for that widow. Okay? That's to be their obligation. First of all, that's who you are to help before anyone else in that situation. And so hopefully we can see what Paul is dealing with. It limits, again, one who we are to help as children. That verse does. Let not the church be charged. Our parents supersede all other widows. They are our relatives. They are the one who raised us and cared for us. So they supersede all other widows. They are not to be dealt with as the poor and dependent female of the church, of the one of the church who is maintained by a group. First, we are to care for our parents, okay? Verse 16, if any believing man or woman have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged. So again, here is another group. You have those widows who have children and who have relatives. But Paul says, you let that group care for them and do not let the church be charged. And hopefully we can see those two groups. Any thoughts on that?
What about if the children won't help the parents?
That still does not take away the obligation. That still does not give authority for the church to support them.
Yeah.
Okay? Paul is very specific of who the church can help. It's those who do not have relatives. Period.
Yeah.
Now, they'll stand before God in judgment for that.
You know, I've had people here at this church who's trying to help me, but I never would take it because I didn't need it. But I'm always ready to help anybody that don't need it. They don't care who it is, whether it's a Christian or not a Christian.
That's an individual responsibility.
Yeah.
That we have looked at, Larry.
You might want to re-explain that in the situation you're talking about here with the widow that has family, you're talking about putting the widow on a continuous basis of help and so forth. You're not, as you said, it's not talking about helping an individual Christian that might have a temporary need, but it's talking about on a full-time basis.
You're talking about the widow indeed?
Yes.
When they are placed on the role or on that, it's a continual help, okay? Because that is what she needs, okay? Just like each of us get a paycheck each week, to support the things that we need. She is to be placed on the role of the local church. It is to be a continual thing. Okay? And it's no different in our parents. Our parents is just something that we don't once a week or once a month. It's to be a daily, 24-hour thing. Okay? A continual helping on that. Good point. Anything else? Again, verse 9 and 10 that we looked at describe the character of a widow indeed. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken in the number that we're talking about. Here, Paul lays the qualifications of what a widow truly is. She must have shown something in her individual life. Okay, this responsibility of an individual that throughout her life it talks about not unless she has been the husband of a wife of one man. She's well reported of good works. She's brought up children. She has lodged strangers. She has washed the saints' feet. If she has relieved the afflicted. If she has diligently followed every good work. That verse should even describe you and I. That's what an individual does. Even though it's extended there, it can refer to a husband, to a father, or just a Christian in general. What our responsibility is. And so Paul says that she's well reported before she can be put on the roll or the number of whom the church is to support. Here's what she must fit. So again, those just like the widow in a home, that her children, it specifies who is to help them. Here, these qualifications specifies only who the church can help. Okay? It's just not, and a lot of times, Nathan kind of the point that individuals do not do that, and the church thinks it's their responsibility to do so, and so you have churches supporting orphan home, or the idea of widows and this, that taking care of these individuals. These verses nowhere authorize that, because a child will not do what's best for his widow, father or mother, does not give authority for someone else to help, as far as the church. And that's what we need to understand, that, you know, and it's sad that that takes place. But folks, we've got to understand, God has specified that Paul is speaking by the inspiration of God. This is what God said. These how I want these situations to be handled. And we may not deem it fair. But God says, this is what I want done. When you look at the younger widows, they're widows. And again, they have no relatives. And that's what he's dealing with when he talks about the younger women. He's not talking about the younger widows who have relatives. He's classifying them with the widows indeed. And we say, well, that don't seem fair. That's the third group that he's dealing with. Those over 60s who are widows indeed, those widows who have family, and the younger women who have no relatives. But just because they are not receiving care, when you look at these verses, what does God say concerning the younger women, okay? Verses 11 through 15, again, is referring to those who likewise do not have relatives, and we'll get into that shortly. Contrast with the widows, who are widows indeed, that they are not to be taken in number. They are not to have money from the church, these younger widows. I may help them as an individual, but first I must learn to show piety at home. But nowhere it implies that they are to be cared for. It says refuse that younger woman or widow who does not have relatives. In other words, don't put them on the payroll of the church. But he does tell them what to do. I would desire that the younger women marry. That's how they are to get what they need. Okay? Now, whether we deem that fair or not, that's what Paul says. And that's the command that he is given to them. Do not take them in, this younger women, this third class, as one who the church maintains or helps as an individual. If I have that opportunity, can do so. But again, we need to be very careful, because Paul gives a warning what may happen to these younger women. That they would have certain desires and stuff to do that the older women, those 60 and older, may not have. Because their body may not yet be dead. And he talks about this wantonness that they may go back into. But he seeks to uphold the sanctity of marriage. They have a right to remarry. Not to play the field, but a right to remarry. He says, that's what I desire, that they bring up children. To fulfill that desire and for that support. And let not the church be charged on that. Do not admit again that class to the group of widows indeed. And again, it does not mean that we should reject them as members of the church. We don't need to deem that from what Paul is writing. They are sisters in Christ. But again, I'm limited as far as the church is, just because they're members, of what I can do to help a member. The church is. Okay?
Now, brother, let me ask you something. Just say one of your members here at the church needed some help to buy food with or pay the electric bill or do whatever. We're supposed to help them out of our own pocket, ain't we? Not out of the treasury? Is that the way
it mentions in verse 8, Nathan, if any does not provide for his own, what does provide as reference? To anything that they are in need of. Okay? That a person or relatives are to provide for that. Now, there's certain situations where they may be that there's no relatives, whatever. Again, you've got to keep that distinction and such that Paul is dealing with here. They're members of the church. They are to be treated, these younger widows, with the same respect, honor, and kindness as the older widows. They are widows. Even though what Paul says our care for them, or the church care for them, is not to be the same as others, they are still Christians. They have lost a husband who supplied their needs. Okay? And so they are to be treated likewise with honor.
In regard to what makes them the same, individually, yes, we can help anyone that we wish. What you're talking about here is out of the collective pressure, but individually, anyone that needs help, if they're struggling or need help, we can do that individually, Nathan, out of our own.
Yeah. Well, we used to do that all the time. When I first started going to church, some older person needed help, like paying his electric bill, we'd always chip in, me and the brethren, not out of the church street, and pay the light bill or whatever they need.
It helps that as far as society things, those that we looked at individually. So that's the three classes that Paul is dealing with here in verses 3 through 16, okay? The widow indeed, the widow who has family, the younger widows who have no relatives, and what God's word or what God commands, how each are to be dealt with. But it deals with, when you look back at verse 4, children or grandchildren, let them first learn, in other words, that to be their top priority, that they ought to care for that widowed person in the home. It deals with the children of one widow, so much like us with mom. We are the children of a widowed mom. Okay? Let them, not as a group, but as each individual child, that I'm to use my means, resources, to care for my mom. That's my responsibility, same as it is Marilyn's. She uses hers. It's not something we put together as like a local church, that days that I'm there, I'm to use my means, abilities, and stuff to care. That's my responsibility. Okay? So it's not as a group, but it's as an individual child. I'm to show piety in my life, as well as Marilyn, June, or whoever else is involved. There is show piety towards that parent. No others are to be placed in front of them. We need to understand that. That's our main responsibility, that no others are to be placed in front of them. We are to take care of them which takes our time, means, and ability, and when we spend that resource or that on someone else, we're sinning. Because that's exactly what Paul let them first, of importance or priority, that I'm to take care of that individual. As in a local congregation, I cannot pass my responsibility on to another. Likewise, I cannot pass my responsibility on to another in caring for my mom. That's my responsibility. And so I place no other before that until that responsibility. Now, I understand that my first obligation is to the one who I'm espoused or married to. Okay, I understand, because we're told to leave father and mother. Okay, I understand that. But if there's no need there, then where do I look next? Okay? And that's what Paul is doing. As we say, one command of God does not take away from other commands. I'm to love her as my own body. That's my responsibility, my children. But what then? Paul here tells, if any widow, then, first of all, from that, let them show piety towards their widowed parent. Piety simply means kindness. I show kindness to my mom. Again, I do not pass responsibilities on. If I do that, I sin. And when the local church helps in that which I neglect to do, the church sins. It cannot spend its resources on a person who has relatives. And so you have the contrast. When that happens, I sin, but also the local church sins. It's not commanded to do that. And we need to understand piety, kindness. I'm to show kindness to my mom. To repay them, why? Paul says, for the kindness they showed me, or she showed me. It's, if you look at this, it's much like the love that God has for us. We can never, as children of God, repay God for the love that He showed us. If I spend 80 years in the kingdom of God, I can never repay God for the love and kindness He showed me. And likewise, towards my parents, the years that they care and all that they've done, I can never repay that kindness. But I am obligated to do that as much as within me. Okay? Children are under sacred obligation by God to do as much as possible for their parents.
Mr. President, the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning at the first verse, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thy milk be a long upon the earth."
Okay. The blessings that go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, we're blessed to do that. And that children have responsibility towards their aged parent. Piety, this word piety, kindness, carries with it the idea of caring for them in whatever need is needful. Okay? It may not always be money. It may be with mom where she cannot particularly help herself. It involves a lot of work as far as caring, cleaning, and this. But again, that's how they done us. Okay? And so that's what it is. And he closes with saying that this is good and acceptable to the Lord when we do this in that part of verse 4. For this is good. And God accepts that type of sacrifice on our behalf to care for our aged parents. The widows, okay? It's good and acceptable to the Lord. Again, verse 5, now she who is a widow indeed and left alone, trusting God, continues supplication, prayers, night and day. So you go back to this widow who has no children. She's desolate. She's alone in that she has that. But she says she trusts in God, okay? No husband to provide, no one to whom she can depend on. It says she continues in supplication, prayers, night and day. No outward assistance, but she puts her trust in the Lord. Therefore, the Lord provides for her need through the local congregation.
Well, there in the third verse of that sixth chapter of Ephesians, there it gives us a promise that we'll have a long life upon this earth, and we'll be good to her parents. That's a blessing.
Huh? In verse 6, you have this third group of young widows, in contrast to that of verse 5, who talks about this one who is truly a widow indeed, and that she puts her trust in God. It says, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Again, the danger of a young widow. Those desires and things of the world that still allures or appeals to that type person. That Paul is saying that she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Again, it's a contrast. And it's the same as you get into verses 11 through 15 that we'll look at. And Paul is simply saying this type of individual who does that is undeserving of church help. You don't help them. Period. Verse 6 or verse 7. And these things command that they may be blameless. That is, that we as individuals or we as a local may be blameless, that we help the ones that we are supposed to help. And not the one who he says not to help. As far as a local, that you may be blameless. In caring, children care for their parents in the duty to all widows. That we are to do those things that God has commanded us to do as children, as individuals, as a local, that we may be blameless before God. And we need to take these words as he's designed for us to hear. Like I say, when you look at things, you may not deem them fair. And there's a lot of things in the Bible we may not deem fair. It's, you know, when you look at the treatment of the apostles, of Paul and Stone, there's things that don't seem right. But this is what God said. This is how my plan works. And all things work like that to produce one thing, and that's salvation. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Where I think fair or not fair does not matter. Verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, again, this person who has with it parents, okay, relatives, is what it's dealing with. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Verse 4, does not provide for his own. If any children, it's having reference back to, this verse having reference back to verse 4. Not only his wife and children, but for his parents who have grown old. Provide for the household. And it can include more than just wife and children, parents. It may include any relative within that household who has a need. Okay? It may involve an in-law who's in that household. But it's dealing with a household. Who all is connected with that household? He's talking about does not provide. If I have opportunity, I have a relative that has need, and I fulfill my other obligations, I am to help them. And I'm not to turn that over to the church. And that's what we need to understand. That's the danger, that we simply will not, whatever, we get mad, I don't care what it is. Sometimes just have nothing to do with people. As Nathan maybe talked about his family. But that does not give us authority to go some other means to provide for their needs. You say, well, that's not fair. That's God's way. Provide for his own. Paul says he has denied the faith. And this may not be so much in words. Nobody's going to live up and say, I'm denying the faith. But when you look at James chapter 2, someone read, if you will, read verses 15 and 16.
If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, that you, what use is it?
Again, Donnie may not get up and say, I'm denying the faith, but when Donnie utters these words, you go and be filled, go your way, Donnie has denied the faith. Whether it's spoken, he has denied the faith in his actions. And so again, when I do not care for my parents, my family, my relatives, I'm denying the faith. Okay? When the church does not help a widow indeed, that local congregation is denying the faith. And John deals with a candlestick being removed from that. When a local congregation helps a widow who is young, they have denied the faith. Again, one may not openly denounce the faith, but by one's actions, they deny the faith. When not taking care of one's own, first of all, when I'm not doing that, I'm placing others before that. We neglect our duty. And Paul says we become worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. I have denied the faith when I place anyone else before my responsibilities. Any thoughts?
You know, man's got to be careful who gives it to, because they come around and bond you for money, and you don't know where they're going to buy drugs or alcohol or something else with it. I don't know where it'd be good to give somebody money to buy drugs with.
Verse 11, refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their faith, their first faith. Besides, they learn to be idle, wanderers about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossip, busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Instead of being this, Paul says, in the command that I have, therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Okay? Again, in these verses, do not admit them to the class of widows indeed. It does not again mean that we reject them as members of the church. They'll be treated fairly and with honor. When they begin to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. Paul describes what wanton means in verse 12, okay? When you look at verse 12, and besides, they learn to be idle. This is wantonness. Wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossip, busybodies, saying things they ought not. They begin to grow wanton against Christ, okay? They desire to marry. It talks about roving or gaiety in sport, moving or flying loosely. That's what wantonness is. Okay? These younger women who do not have husbands, it talks about it's gaiety or sport to associate with others. Okay? That's what wantonness is. Paul says there's the danger. Because of that danger, you need to marry. Because you're secure in marriage. Because marriage is approved of God, so the idea that they move or fly loosely. He says it's playing in the wind, wandering from moral righteousness. So we place ourselves in danger. Paul says, the command that I have, the church is not to provide for the young widows. Let them marry, and let someone care for them. And so you have the church, the local church can help the widow indeed. I, as an individual, help my mom, her dad, or my relatives, and those who are wandering as young widows, I'm not to give nothing to. Let them marry. Any thoughts? Thank you.